The following is a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.
You're listening to TKR, Tony Curry Radio. Thanks to 100,000 folks who have downloaded that app. We're in the top 10% of all podcasts nationwide. Very, very proud of that. And couldn't do it without some of our great shows, including Heart of Alabama Food Bank's Michael Coleman as part of Mission Minded. And, of course, this show called Bite by Bite, where they run back-to-back. You can hear it 5 days a week. You've worked for a lot of non-for-profits. You're doing so right now down there in beautiful Montgomery, covering 35 counties in the great state of Alabama, and you're just getting through your fiscal year. Let me start right there. Why is your fiscal year start and finish in July? Why don't most people start in January? Is it when you came on board, or how does that work?
Well, you know, it's all over the board in the nonprofit world. Some people's calendar year is the same as their fiscal year. So they start, we know the federal government starts at the beginning of October is the start of their fiscal year. And then in the nonprofit space and other businesses too, our fiscal year starts from July to June. In our case, I was not here when that decision was made, but in most cases similar to this, if you did by your calendar year, fundraising is always biggest in your November and December timeframe. Mm-hmm. So you have to do a budget typically based on last year's performance. And if you did a calendar year and you're going to get a budget and get it approved and ready to start at the beginning of the year, you're going to do it November before you determine how well your fundraising is going.
Yeah, true.
So if you put it back to the year now, the December timeframe, which is normally in a calendar year, a fourth quarter, it's our second quarter. So what happens is we start the summer, we plan in, we're ahead of the government's fiscal year because we do get some government funding through the USDA. But then we hit our big fundraising in November and December. Well, at the end of December, our 6 months is up. Now we can look at how much we brought in, how we did, what we can improve on, and then we roll into our next budget year, budget planning process for the next budget year to get ready. And it's pretty steady month to month outside of November and December. So we got that. We've already got that data and what we're looking at. So it makes sense for us to have it in July to June.
There you go. All right. That being said, how do you make a budget for a non-for-profit? I mean, you can look at the last few numbers or last few years. Obviously, you have to look at what the government does because a lot of your stuff comes from subsidies. And I know there's been a lot of things cut in this administration. But how do you put together a budget?
Well, it's not vastly different than most places, but the problem is, or the difference is, if you're in a for-profit business, you know, it's all based on sales. And one of the things I look at as a nonprofit is when I'm going to do this, I say, number one, what are going to be our staff needs? Now, that can vary depending on what our plan is for the year, or the plan that I'm bringing for the year. And so, for instance, if I say, yes, we're going to try to get even more efficient, more effective, and we're going to add one program. Well, then we have to analyze that program. So are we going to plus up any of the others? Is that going to require more people? And we're going to add programs. What does that look like? Do we have any areas that have huge deficiencies? And are there ways that we can bring down our workforce by combining two positions and putting that all together? So we go through that whole staff needs assessment. And the bottom line is, if the staff is telling me, and I agree, that we need three more people, then I have to look at how much we spent on personnel last year and say, okay, we have to raise that by X number of dollars, because if that's going to go into the expense column, then where's that revenue got to come from? You know, and so that's, you have to adjust that. Plus, you have to adjust for potential raises, bonus, anything like that. So you're looking at staff needs, and then you look at the programming needs. Do we want to plus up? And what does plus up look like? You know,
what does plus up mean? I'm sorry.
If we're plussing it up, like if we're improving it or increasing it. Gotcha. So a good example would be, let's say we've set up with our food as medicine, we set up a remote delivery service. And so if we said, okay, well, that's going to be, we're going to double the amount of people we impact this year. Okay. That means we're going to be on the road more. So mm-hmm. we have to calculate gas. We have to, just all the things that go with it, wear and tear on the vehicle, all that has to go to it. Then you have to look at, okay, even though this doesn't technically go in your operating budget, because you have your revenue versus your expenses. Well, over here, you've got these capital expenses. And that's for us, you set your own thing. But a capital expense is anything that costs $2,500 or more that has a depreciation time over it. So, for instance, an example would be if we were going to add new bathrooms to, so that's a capital expense. Mm-hmm. And so we look at it and go, okay, in our facility, what's our facility like? Where, do we need a new roof somewhere? Do we need to repave the, what is this related to the facilities, or do we need new vehicles? A new truck is a capital expense, those kind of things. So you have to, because you have to maintain your truck fleet. Yep. And so you, just like you have to maintain your computers, we're on a computer plan that every 5 years, we rotate because we get new computers. The life of a computer is 4 to 5 years in our organization. And then we always, like everybody, are encouraged to have an emergency fund. And a lot of I would say most nonprofits have at least something. It may be $1,000. That's not much. Yeah. That's what they recommend personally, but for a nonprofit, that's not a lot. But what you always want to try to do if possible is, even though you may have a zero budget, which means you've budgeted the same amount of revenue as your expenses, it's great if you can have a little leftover at the end of the year.
Yeah, sure.
Where you're in the plus column, because then you can transfer that into your emergency fund. Or you can even build your emergency fund as an expense, like, hey, every month we're going to put $500 in our emergency fund to try to build it up and whatever those goals are. So an annual budget, you're looking at, what's my mission? How do I improve it? How do I make it more efficient? How do I make it more impactful? And from personnel to programs to facilities, upgrades to managing utility costs, all of that has a plan that you go in, and that's how you come up with your annual budget. For us, we reconcile our actuals. So you have what's budgeted, like this is what I'm projecting, but then you have the actuals that come in, and we reconcile that every single month to see, hey, we're pretty close on this. We're managing this pretty well. And then sometimes we think, oh, wow, we budgeted way too much, or we didn't budget near enough. And so all budgeting to me is a real learning process from year to year.
Yeah, I'll bet. So and particularly when you're, Well, and you've done some.
Yeah, especially when you're counting on stuff like government funding and then it gets cut.
Well, and you've done so many improvements, and I know you think outside the box, and a lot of times, it takes money to make money. And I've seen you do that with the Jimmy Hill Mission. I've seen you do it with the Heart of Alabama Food Bank. You went through an entire rebranding process, which is not free. And so you had to look, and I'm sure that it's going gangbusters based on that. But that's really, really interesting. I think it's important that everyone, you have to look at your inventory. And in your particular case, when you're talking about, taking care of hungry mouths and feeding people, it's just vitally important that you're always looking at what's on the shelf, what's selling well, depending on what kind of business you have, and then budgeting that way. And I think it's really interesting. I always think it's I always wonder, and I'm not going to use thinking I'll use the Galleria as an example here in Birmingham. My son and I go there every Wednesday. We ride elevators, and so we walk the mall for a good hour and a half. And I cannot for the life of me understand how 99% of the businesses in that mall stay open. I don't, because I see the inventory. I walk in a JCPenney. I'm the only person in the store for an entire hour. And I'm thinking to myself, how in the world do you even budget for something like this? And again, I also understand there's 100,000 other JCPenneys out there that are probably making money and some aren't. And so it all kind of goes down on the ledger down at the bottom of the page. But certainly when it comes to feeding America and the Heart of Alabama Food Bank, it doesn't work that way. So there you go. All right, my man. Thank you so much. I appreciate you. Tell people how they can get in touch with you.
Have a great weekend. Go to hafb.org, and we encourage our local community to come get involved, or wherever you're listening from, get involved with your local food bank. But if you want to support us, go to HAFB. We'd love to have your support. We have a new campaign. It's so easy. It's $6 a month for recurring donors. And because $1 feeds, we can generate 5 meals. $6 will provide 1 meal a day for a whole month. A recurring donor, that know, you'll know every time you sit down to have a meal, you're also providing a meal for somebody else.
Right.
So easy. Go to hafb.org, and it's right. Donate, and it's right there. It's very easy.
Thank you, my friend. Appreciate you.
This has been a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.